Well, amen. You may be seated this morning, and as you're being seated, if you will get out your copy of God's Word and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. I want us as a church to be a strong body of believers united around the gospel and one that has impact for the glory of God in our community and around the world. That is the reason for our mission and our vision. And as we come to these verses in Ephesians again, they are at really the heart of who we are and our existence. So we exist to disciple people, to love God supremely, and love others sacrificially through gospel-centered ministry. And so last week we began to unpack these verses to see what God was saying to us individually about our role in strengthening the body and the importance of having a strong body. And so we began to go down through these verses and look at these different truths about a strong body. Last week we said a strong body is the purpose for which Christ gave gifts. Paul tells us that you have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit of God in your union with Christ so that you could serve, do the work of ministry, leadership, so that they could equip the body to do the work of ministry. And our goal is the building up, the strengthening of the body of Christ. As well, a strong body is measured spiritually, not numerically. We are to look at spiritual measurements. Are we more like Christ? Are we becoming more like Christ? Are we in unity with one another? Are we maturing to the manhood, to the measure of the fullness of Christ, Paul says. And so we're going to pick up there and we're going to talk about number 3 and number 4 this morning. But before I do, I want to read back through these verses, beginning in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. If you didn't bring your Bible this morning, then let me encourage you to look underneath the seat somewhere near you. You can find a Bible there. And if you turn to page 977, you will find Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now drop down to verse 11. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Not only is a strong body the purpose for which Christ gave gifts, not only is it to be measured spiritually, not numerically, but a strong body is able to stand against false teachings. A strong body is able to stand against false teachings. One of the main reasons that Paul gives us to build up the body is protection. That's what Paul is saying in verse 14. If you look at verse 14, it's so that, he gives us the reason for this building up into mature manhood, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. So the leadership is to equip. The saints are to do the work of the ministry. And when this happens, the body is strengthened. And we need to be strengthened because we are constantly under attack by the false teachings that bombard us day in and day out. The body is to help one another in building itself up, because the body, as it goes out individually, is attacked and bombarded by false teachings, by false doctrines, all over the place. And because of that, we need to be strong, or we're going to be driven by winds of doctrine, tossed to and fro. The measure of a strong body is mature manhood to the stature of Christ. But when the body is not strong, when it's not being equipped, when it's not being fed by the Word of God, when we're not using our gifts to uphold the Word of God, that it is weak, and all of a sudden the body now is susceptible to these attacks. And these attacks, listen, are not just like, oh, hey, let me tell you that I'm going to come to you with an attack against your faith. These are attacks that are subtle. There has to be room in the body for those new believers who still have a long way to go. However, it is not okay when the body as a whole remains immature and doesn't develop, just like it isn't okay for a physical child not to develop. Why? Because it leaves them open for attack. If you have a small child, they're not developing physically. They are open to attack of disease. When the body is not growing, when it's not being built up, it's open to attack from false teachings. Writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 5:14, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." See, the problem with an immature believer or body is they can't stand against the false teachings that come against. They don't have any ammunition. They don't have any protection. They don't have anything to stand on because they haven't been trained in the Word of God. Look at how Paul describes them in verse 13. He says they're children tossed to and fro by waves, carried about by winds. These are describing a life of spiritual instability. Being tossed to and fro and carried about is not stable words. Tossed means you're being thrown around. Your feet aren't on the ground. You have no power over where you will wind up. It's a nautical term that means agitated waters. Now, some washing machines don't have these anymore, but think of the agitator in your washing machine. Have you ever lifted up the lid while that thing was going? It's just going back and forth and back and forth. Why? Because it's to agitate the water, and the water just sloshes all around. That's the picture that you need to see here. One who is untrained in the Word, who's not been discipled, a body that is weak and immature, they're thrown around by the waves. If you were to put a cork in your washing machine while the agitator's going, that's the person being tossed around by the waves. They're at the mercy of the waves. There's no stability in their lives. Carried about literally means spun around, like you were to take a top and spin it as it's spinning around. Think of a kite in a tornado. You're out flying a kite and a tornado comes along and that kite is taken by the tornado and it's just spinning. It's at the mercy of the tornado, not knowing where it's going to end up, where it's going to land. And so what is it that tosses and spins these children? It's false doctrine. False teachings, teachings against the truths of God's Word. False doctrine is any teaching that is conflict with God's revelation of Himself and all that He's done for us in Christ Jesus. So anything that goes against the gospel, anything that goes against God's revelation of Himself is a false doctrine. And it doesn't matter if they're your family member or they're your neighbor or they're really nice people. It is false doctrine if it comes against the Word of God. It's in contrast to the unity that comes around the biblical truths and the deeper knowledge of the Son of God that we found in verse 13. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all of that. It comes against that, and so it divides. And it pulls people away from the faith and sets them aside, and it targets them, and they find themselves out here, and there they go, and they're walking away from the faith. Now, if I wanted to kill you and I said, "Here, drink this bottle of poison," then immediately you would go, well, no, I'm not going to drink that bottle of poison because it'll kill me, right? I mean, anybody in their right mind would do that. Even a child. If I were to come to your child and say, hey, I want to kill you, and so drink this bottle of poison. Even your child is smart enough to go, wait a minute, kill me, poison. No, I'm not drinking that poison. That's not how it works. But the false doctrine that he's talking about is introduced by human cunning and by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Let me read this to you from another translation. It says, by the slick cleverness of men, craftily calculated to lead us astray. So they don't come and they say, hey, look, this goes against the Bible. Why don't you take some? They scheme and they craft and they plan. And they introduce in ways that the immature Christian, the one who's not discipled, the body that is weak, will accept and take in. If I wanted to take someone's life and I wanted to come to a child and I wanted to slip them some poison, I would come with 2 glasses of milk. In fact, it'd be 2 glasses of chocolate milk. And I'd put poison in theirs, and then I would drink mine, and I'd go, wow, man, this is so good. This is so refreshing. Oh, this tastes just unbelievable. By the end of the time, I've got them asking me for their glass of milk. And I'm going to hand them a glass of chocolate milk that has poison. And I'm scheming and I'm planning. Listen, you think, why is he talking about killing kids? Because that's the picture I want you to think of. When it comes to false doctrine, killing children of the faith, in a sense, it's immature believers. It's a body that isn't strengthened. And so they come along and they don't say, here, drink this poison. They say, hey, why don't you taste this? It's so good. It's so sweet. And they're so nice about it. And they're cunning and they're scheming. And when you don't have a strong body, there are those in that body, and the whole body itself is susceptible to the attacks of false teachings and false doctrines getting into the body and dividing it, or getting into the life of one who calls themselves a believer, and then you find that they just walk away. Jesus gives the same warning in a different way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. He's talking about taking his teachings and applying them to your life. And if you do that, then your house is steady. It's built on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus is saying, if we do not take the truths of God's word and apply them to our lives, then our house is weak, it's unstable, your life is unstable. That's why we need a strong body. That's why we need leaders to equip so the saints can do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body. So that the body is strong, it's less susceptible to the attacks from the outside. I want to show you a video that is going to hopefully illustrate this very clearly. But for all the Longhorns in here, I'm going to set it up anyway, okay? There is a water buffalo that's a baby water buffalo. Now, let me just give you a warning. I don't know if graphic is the word, but it's disturbing at the beginning, okay? The baby water buffalo represents this child who's tossed to and fro. All right? There's a pack of lions that come against the baby water buffalo. There's also a crocodile, and they get the baby water buffalo. So if your kids can't handle that, I'm just giving you a heads up, right? All right? The lion and the crocodile represent the false teachings that we are susceptible to day in and day out. And the pack of water buffalo that come along represent a strong body of Christ. I want you to watch this video with that in mind, and I want you to see Paul, what he's talking about illustrated here. That's how the body should react to false teaching. We should have a strong body that unites together around one God, one Lord, one faith, so that when the attack comes, we're ready to defend. That we're ready to go after those false teachings and say, no, that's not right. And we're not going to allow you to pursue or be pulled away, dragged away by those things that come against the truth of God's Word. So we will sit under the teaching of God's Word so that we can be equipped. We will use our gifts to uphold the Word of God. We will be united in this faith so that we are protected and so that we protect one another from false teachings, false doctrines that make their way in. Not raise up and say, hey, believe me because I'm false, but through scheming, through cunning, find their way into the life of believers. In chapters 2:1-3, Paul says this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We used to follow the world. We used to follow Satan. We used to follow the flesh. But they've not gone away. They've just continued. They haven't thrown in the towel. They haven't given up. They're not neutral in your life. The world and Satan and the flesh come after us. They tell us more is better. We have to love ourselves more. All roads lead to heaven. Faithfulness to your spouse is old-fashioned and out of date. The details about Christ aren't important, just that you love Him. Life is an accident. Be your own man. Follow your heart. The Bible is archaic and cannot be believed. Jesus was just a man, if he existed at all. Look out for number one. Your happiness is most important. Jesus is not enough. And on and on and on, in various ways, all the time, scheming, trying to get into our hearts to tell us that we need to doubt this truth. We need a strong body to protect one another from that. Listen, and no one is immune to these attacks. There was an article out last week about another prominent evangelical leaving his wife and his faith. He wrote a book that you probably have heard of. I'm not going to mention his name. I had a professor in seminary, one that I respected greatly. Years after I left seminary, I hear that he has left the faith. He was teaching theology. And I wonder in both of these men's life, I don't know, I can't prove it, but I bet that they were just on the fringe. That they were not truly involved in a vibrant church that was feeding. Maybe it was pride that said, because I'm teaching, I don't need to be a part of that. Or because I've written a book and I'm prominent in evangelical circles, I don't need to include myself in a body of believers that's going to hold me accountable. Now, I don't know, I'm just guessing, I'm speculating. But when you remove yourself from the body, or when you are not part of a body that is strong, you are that baby water buffalo who's just sort of out there on their own, and you're open for attack. You're the sick buffalo that's ranging out on the fringes, and you're open for attack. But when you put yourself and immerse yourself in a body that is strong, being built up by the Word of God, then you are protected from attack. It doesn't mean the attack will not come. What it means is there are those who will come to your aid and will say, no, this is what God's Word says. This is what the Spirit of God is teaching. Turn away from those false teachings. Come back and be a part of this body. That baby water buffalo survived the attack of a pack of lions and a crocodile because of the strength of that pack who united together to fight them off. They were determined they were not going to allow the lions to remain. Notice that they did not quit when the baby came back into the pack. They didn't just turn away and say, okay, well, we'll just let you lay there. They drove away those lions. They made it very clear that the attack was not welcome. That's what we have to do. We have to stand on these truths, and we have to encourage one another, and we have to be equipped, and we have to serve. We have to do all that Paul is talking about in these verses so that this body is built up, so that a strong body can protect the family. Listen, the next time you think, listen, it's okay for me to sit on the sidelines because somebody else will teach the kids. Somebody else will serve in that area. Somebody else will take up that time of prayer. And I want you to think about that video. I want you to think about that baby water buffalo and what happened when that pack of buffalo came together and united and did what they were created to do, drive off the danger. We need men and women using their gifts, upholding the truths of the Scripture in the gospel by the power of the Spirit so that you as an individual are protected, so that your daughter and your son is protected, so that your husband, so that your wife is protected, so that as they go out and they live this life being attacked left and right by false teachings and false doctrines that want to pull them away, they will know, wait a minute, no, that's wrong. And if they do get pulled away, then the body comes together and they go after them and they say, no, we want to restore you. We want to bring you back in. And so let me just give you quickly two very practical upcoming events that will help you to guard against false teachings and false doctrine that we're going to have coming up. Wednesday nights, beginning this Wednesday night, actually it started last Wednesday night, but we are going to start going through the same question and answers, doctrinal question and answers, that the children are going through in Sticky Faith. And we're going to begin to study those passages of Scripture that they are memorizing. Now, my encouragement to you would be to memorize question, answer, and passage of Scripture along with them. But this is going to be about a 50-something week doctrinal study where we're going to go through and we're going to talk about these main doctrines of the faith, of the Christian faith that we hold to that will keep us moored to Christ and this faith that we need to live out. So that when you go out there and you hear something either in the office or on TV or from someone else who comes and says, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Don't you believe this? That you know. Wait a minute. There is something wrong with that. That is not in line with the truths of Scripture. And then even more specific, on September 22nd, we're going to have our next Popcorn with the Pastor. If you're new here, Popcorn with the Pastor is we get together and go see a movie. Actually, we are bringing the movie in this time. We're going to watch The American Gospel. The American Gospel is a video that walks through what is the gospel. That is the first part of it. And then the second part is, if this is the gospel, this is what the gospel is, then where does the health, wealth, and prosperity doctrine fit in? And let me just, spoiler alert, it doesn't. All right. Benny Hinn's nephew is on this video. And so I know you're thinking, okay, do I really want to come in and watch that? Let me answer that for you. Yes, you do. So go ahead and put on your calendar, September 22nd, I'm going to be here. It will change the way, not just the way that you see health, wealth, and prosperity, Benny Hinn, but the way that you see the American church as a whole and maybe shift your thinking about the way that we do things. And is it really upholding the gospel? Why? Because I want to protect us. I want to guard us against what is out there and what is coming against us because the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel is exploding. It is a gospel that isn't a gospel, but it is exploding. And it is exploding not only here in America, but in other countries. They are turning to this If you will put your faith and trust in God, then everything's going to be okay in your life. And it's not right. It's a lie. And you are as susceptible as anyone else. And so I want to expose you to this and show you and teach you what does God's Word say about this and what are other leaders saying about this. And so I hope that you will be here. But we have to move on. Number four. A strong body pursues growth in all areas by being honest with one another. A strong body pursues growth in all areas by being honest with each other. Look at what Paul says in verse 15. Rather, so there's a contrast, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. The command here is to grow up in every way into Christ who's the head. This isn't a suggestion by Paul. He's telling Ephesus, rather you are to grow up. That's the point. Grow up into Christ who is the head. And this growth is to take place in every area of your life. In other words, there are no areas of life that are off limits for the changing power of the truth of God's Word. We don't get to say, listen, I like this about God's Word because it makes me happy, but I don't like this about God's Word because when you teach that or when we get into that, the Holy Spirit starts messing around with my heart and telling me that I've got to change some things. Growth is, listen, whatever you want to do with me, then I'm open to you doing that because I want to be more like Christ in every area of my life. Becoming like Christ means all the truths of God working their way into all the life of the believer, so there is growth in every way. But notice how Paul specifically says this happens. He says, rather speaking the truth in love, you are to grow. It's when we speak the truth to one another inside the body. It's when we're honest with ourselves and with each other about the sin in our life, the sin in others' life, that growth takes place. And that's a scary thought for most of us. To think that there are people in my life who are going to speak into me about the sin in my life, about false belief, about false ideas. But that's what he's talking about here. Speaking the truth in love. It's one word in the Greek. It's actually pretty difficult to translate in English. A better translation would be truthing. That's about as close as we can get. It certainly includes speaking the truth. It probably includes also practicing the truth. So not only are we to speak the truth in love, we are to model that truth. And that makes sense if you go back to where Paul says the leaders are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. We are to teach the Word of God, but we are to model the Word of God. We are also to do that with one another. We are to speak into each other's lives the truth of God's Word, and we're to live it out before one another. We are to model, we're to truth before one another. And of course, this truth would coincide with the truth of God's Word that we have and that we want to hold to, this unity of faith, these doctrines, these core beliefs that we're surrounded and unified by. It is the set of beliefs that we talk about in verse 13. But more importantly, it stands against the false doctrines that toss us and spin us. And so as we are speaking the truth to one another and we are modeling the truth before one another, it is saying this is the truth. This is what God's Word says. And so it is again a protection against those false doctrines and those false teachings that come in. As a matter of fact, there's an interesting play on words that Paul uses to heighten this contrast. The word for children in verse 14, if you literally translate that, it means that which does not speak. So a child, a very young child, can't say anything. So that's how they describe a child, that which cannot speak. So the immaturity that is like a small child who can't talk leaves the body susceptible to false teaching. It's countered by the speaking and the doing of truth toward each other within the body. And so Paul says, rather than being this child who's tossed to and fro, then we need to be speaking the truth to one another so that we grow up, so that we're maturing. That is how we grow, in the speaking to truth to one another. We don't stay silent. We proclaim the truth. That's how we're going to no longer be children, but we're going to grow up into the stature of Christ. But this isn't the responsibility of just the leadership. All throughout the New Testament, we're directed to teach one another. And so as the leadership equips with the truth of the Word, the body can serve in order to uphold the truths of the Word as we speak and do the Word in community with one another. That's how the body grows to be like Christ, and that's how we build up the body. We build up the body when we do the things necessary for individuals to grow to the maturity of Christ. And Paul will eventually say, so the body builds itself up. We build ourselves up when we do what God is telling us to do here. Equipping, serving, grounded in the truth, speaking the truth to one another so that we mature to be like Christ. And as we become to be like Christ, then we are built up and we have a strong body, one that can withstand the attacks. But don't miss the fact that this is to be done in love. Having the truth doesn't mean it's to be wielded as a club. When we shine the truth of God's Word in the lives of others, it only follows that we do so in a manner that upholds God's character. We don't get to say, I'm going to take God's truth and then beat somebody over the head, not in love, because that doesn't represent the character of God. Yet that is what we do. We sit around and we're like vultures. We're kind of like just soaring and we're circling around up on our high post way up there in the sky. And as soon as we see somebody, oh, I'm supposed to speak the truth. We dive bomb them, swoop down. That's wrong. And we swoop back up to our high little swirl up there. No, in love with the character of God. We are to love them as we speak the truth. And so love demands that we tell them the truth. Listen, truth without love is legalism. Love without truth is just sentimentality, and therefore it's a lie. I say I love you, but I don't love you enough to speak the truth in your life to keep you from wandering away from the faith, from these going after these false teachings. So then you really don't love that person. That's a lie. If you truly love someone, you'll not allow them to continue to live in sin, continue to pursue false teachings. And so it demands that we tell them the truth. And it demands that we do so for their good, not our good. In other words, you don't tell them the truth in order to make yourself look better or to put them down. You do so with concern and care for their spiritual well-being. You genuinely want restoration to take place. And so because you love them, you don't want them to leave or you want to bring them back in. So you go to them and you say, I love you and I want to talk to you about something. And you speak the truth of God's Word into their life. That's why speaking the truth in love fosters growth in Christ. You're giving them Christ. You're giving them Christ. You're pressing them back towards the grace of repentance so that they can then experience that grace so that they can then continue to live and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes each of us looking out for one another and speaking the truth in love. Again, if we go back to the beginning of chapter 4, Paul's telling us how to walk worthy of our calling, which means we walk with humility and patience and gentleness. But then he says, bearing with one another in love. Listen, this isn't Paul just like throwing love in sporadically just to make sure that he says love enough. There's a reason he says bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another means bearing with their weaknesses. It's coming alongside, helping them fight the sin that they struggle with, or in this context, the false beliefs that are trying to pull them away. Look at Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We take Galatians 6:2 out of context. The context here is sin, when we are to bear one another's burdens. So when you know a brother or sister is struggling with sin, the goal is restoration. You want to restore them. So how do you do this? With gentleness. You don't beat them up. You come to them with gentleness. And then he says, keep watch on yourself lest you be tempted. That tells us that restoration is a process. It has to be a process lest you not be tempted. In other words, this isn't a conversation where you go and say, hey, that's wrong. And they say, okay, forgive me. And you go, okay, and then you walk away. That's not what he's talking about. You're not tempted there. You know when you're tempted? You're tempted when you get into their life and you're bearing the burden of that sin. You're helping them and walking through that sin with them. That's when you're tempted to go over. And so he says, beware lest you be tempted too. And then you continue to work in their life. And when you know what is going on, you help shoulder the weakness, which is why he says, bear one another's burdens. It's bearing one another's burdens, going to them and saying, I see a weakness, I see a sin, I'm going to help you. And when you do that, you fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's exactly what you're doing. I love God enough to not let that truth continue. And I love that person enough to not let that, not truth, that false sin, whatever it is, continue in their life. So I'm going to interject myself. I'm going to help bear this burden. I'm going to go and in love, I'm going to speak truth into their life. And when you do, they, if they respond, they are restored and the body is strengthened and built up. And that's what Paul is telling us to do. Speak the truth in love so that the body grows, so that there's growth in the individual and the body is built up. And when we are led by the Spirit to speak the truth of the Spirit to those who have the Spirit, it resonates with them. And by the power of the Spirit, the body grows to be like Christ. Christ was loving and honest throughout his ministry. With the woman at the well, he spoke the truth. He said, you're right in saying, I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. He told her the truth. And he was loving and merciful. The fact that he was having a conversation with her and offering her living water so she wouldn't thirst again. Truth and love. The woman caught in adultery. Jesus comes and was loving to her. He says, neither do I condemn you. And he spoke truth. He said, go and sin no more. He didn't call her sin something else. He called it sin. But he said, I don't condemn you. I offer forgiveness. He spoke the truth in love. But more importantly, this is what Christ did for us. See, the only reason you and I can be restored to God is because Jesus came and he spoke the truth in love. He called us sinners, rebels, transgressors of the law. Why? Because that's who we are. That's what we had done. We had rebelled against God. And in love, he bore the burden of our sin by dying on the cross. He took our guilt. He took our shame. He took the penalty of our sin. It's because Christ spoke the truth in love and loved us through dying on the cross that man can be restored to a holy God. It is the example that we have both in life and in salvation. And it's because Christ took the guilt and the shame of our sin that we're freed to speak the truth in love with one another. Do you know why we don't do this? Because we're scared of what the other person is going to think of us. And we worship our comfort and we worship our acceptance, and we worship what other people think of us more than we worship the truth. It's the reason we'll speak the truth, but not in love. It's why we do the flyby, because I'm not really worried about them, I'm more worried about me. And so I come by and I just like take them out at the knees and I keep on flying. It makes me feel good about myself, because certainly I don't have that sin. It's why we won't get into people's lives and be honest with one another. Because we're scared of what they're going to think of us if they know about my sin. We're scared of being exposed. We're scared of them saying, why are you judging me? And so it was just easier to just let it ride. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. I'll just let it go. This passage doesn't allow that. Our salvation does not allow that. No longer do we have to worry about what others are going to think of us if we speak the truth. God already knows everything about us, and He loves us. And if God loves you, and you are resting in God's love in Christ, then it doesn't matter what other people think about you, what they say about you, how they respond to you. What you're saying is, I love God more, and I love you more than my reputation or my feelings. And so I'm going to approach you and I'm going to say, listen, I need to talk to you about something. Why? Because I love you and because I love God. No longer do we have to think that it's more loving to just let error continue in someone's life. When we do that, it's a lack of faith in God and it's us trying to control and manipulate the situation. God has placed you in the life of that other believer. We see that there's something going on. There's a danger in their life. They are headed down the wrong path. And we say, oh, well, somebody else will take care of that. You are basically saying a sovereign God who put me in their life doesn't know what He's doing. Because He put me there with the specific reason of speaking the truth and love into their life, but I'm not going to do that. God, I'm in control. I'm going to manipulate the situation. Listen, you're not in control of anything. You certainly weren't in control of what was going on at the cross. God is in control. God has saved you. He has equipped you. He has given you, by the power of the Spirit, knowledge of what to say and to love that person and to speak the truth into their life. Now listen, when we do that in a loving manner, in the way that God's Word tells us, when we are honest with one another about our sin towards one another and speaking the truth in love to one another, then we will grow. We will grow. We will spiritually mature into Christ who is the head. And as we mature individually into Christ, then the body is built up. It is strong. The American church is weak because it will not speak the truth in love. Because the American church says, I want to be more like America than I do like Christ. And so my constitution tells me I'm free and nobody tells me what to do. And so I'm actually more in tune with this constitution than I am with this word. Now, yes, I'm speaking in generalities. But we need to think about this. I am not going to speak into anybody else's life because it's none of my business. That's why we have fences and garages that I can drive into so I don't have to talk to my neighbors. I don't have to get involved. I don't want to get messy. It's my life. Why would I get messy? I've got enough problems of my own. That's not what God is teaching. When we are unified around the faith, it means we fight for one another, which means we're going to risk speaking into others' lives so that God can use that truth. You know when you speak the truth into somebody's life and they go off, in your mind you think, well, that didn't work. That was a waste of time. You know what happens? The Spirit of God takes the truth of God that you have planted in their mind and in their heart, and He just begins to work it. And if they are truly believers in Christ, and He begins to use that, and there's conviction. And it's not about you. See, the goal isn't to be the one to stand up and say, yeah, there's about three or four people in here that are mature Christians because I spoke the truth in their life. Yep. You've totally missed the point. It's about the body as a whole. You love Christ, you love His body, and so therefore, you are going to speak the truth in love. It should happen on a regular basis. Sometimes it's an encouragement, sometimes it's reproof and rebuke. But whatever it is, we stand on the truth of God's Word and we speak it into each other's lives. That's what our life groups, our small groups are all about, so that we form relationships. And as those relationships grow deeper, then we begin to speak into each other's lives at a deeper level and help one another and encourage one another. and have people come to us and say, listen, I see something in your life. This isn't right. I want to speak into that. Praise God for that. If someone does that and you push them away, be very, very, very careful that you're not grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit in that moment. Because it's God who said, speak the truth in love. God uses the instrument of pieces of the body, members of the body, to come into your life and to speak that truth. It may just be His instrument in that moment, the Holy Spirit speaking into your heart, because there's change that needs to take place. And when there's a strong body, when the body is unified around these truths, when we're being equipped through the teaching of the Word, when we're using our gifts around the Word, when we're protecting one another, when we're willing to go and grab them and bring them back into the fold, when we're willing to bear their burden, when we are honest with one another, and there is a strong body, man, the gates of hell will not prevail. The gospel will go forth, people will be saved, God will be glorified. And we will be the church that has impact in the community and around the world that God is calling us to be. And that's my prayer for this church. So let me ask you this morning. Do you want to be a part of a strong body? Do you want to be a part of what God is doing here, right here? And you want this to be reflected here? And that means we've got to be willing to submit and use our gifts and abilities in all areas of service. We've got to be willing to speak into each other's lives. We've got to be willing to be unified around this faith, around these truths, to learn these doctrines. We've got to allow God through the Holy Spirit to use us however He calls us, however He commands us, wherever it is, whenever it is. But we don't get to say, no, thank you this time, Lord Jesus. But it also means if you're going to be part of this body and you're going to be protected, you have got to submit yourself to Jesus Christ. For some of you, it means certain areas. There are areas that you're still holding on to that you have control and you've got to let go. Maybe it's your time. I don't know, maybe it's your finances. I don't know what it is. But you've got to let go and let Christ have His way. For others, you're not saved. There's never been a time in your life where you've said, Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for my sins, raising from the grave, and me putting my faith in that and believing in that, then there is no salvation. If that's you, we want to invite you this morning to be saved. We want to invite you to say yes to Jesus. And so in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to be standing down front. We're going to open up the invitation. There'll be people waiting down here who want to walk through the gospel with you, show you how you can be saved. And we're going to ask you to come. Say yes to Jesus. Will you stand to your feet with your head bowed and eyes closed? All around this auditorium, people praying. As the praise band begins to come so that they can play and sing, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, they're going to play. That's your cue to step out from where you are. You come forward. Do you need prayer? You need help bearing your sin? You need salvation? Whatever it is, you come. Father, we love You. We thank You that You have given us grace. And part of that grace is a body of believers that we're to join ourselves with. And so thank You that You have instructed us and shown us very clearly how the body is to function and the importance of a body that is functioning properly, one that is strong, one that can withstand the attacks of Satan, one that is bearing burdens, not allowing sin to remain, but doing so in the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning that You would begin to work those truths, those ideas, even more in the life of Faith Family. Father, I pray for those who are here this morning who have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They don't know what it means to be in this community of believers. They don't know what it means to have a relationship with a God who loves them so much that He would send His Son Jesus to die on the cross. Father, I pray this morning, this very morning, would be the one where they let go. They turn away from their sin. They put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they find salvation. So we're praying that you have your way in this time. And we pray it in Jesus' name.